Today's reading is from 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. For those of you who are here with us for the first time, we are at the very end of our series that we have entitled Questions That Alexa Can Answer. And over the last several weeks, we have tried to capture the questions that all of us, or at some point in time, have asked. And while there are some things that we can ask Alexa for information, that there are just certain things that we need to go to God for. So this Sunday's will be the end of that series, and we will turn the page and start to look on next week, talking about This Is Us. But before we begin, won't you join me in a word of prayer? Dear God, today we have lifted up your word. From the start of our service, we have been reminded of how you speak to us. So God, even now we pray that you would continue in that same manner. Not just through words, but God, speak to us in our hearts, speak to us in our spirits, speak to us in the depths of our souls. Because God, we stand on your word and promise that when the word of God goes out, it shall not come back void. For in Christ's name we pray, hope, and trust. Amen. Amen. I have this belief in life that there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who use manuals and instructions and those who do not. And look who's laughing, they're the ones who don't. Right? Now my dad falls into one of these categories, and I want to prove it to you. My dad is very gifted at using his hands. He's very gifted at fixing things. And that has always been, and that still is, his claim to fame, that he can fix just about anything. And truth is, whether my dad was fixing a car, putting together my basketball rim, or fixing something at the house, he always seemed to pride himself on figuring out how something worked and figuring out and challenging himself of how to put it back together again. But I can honestly say that of all the things I've ever seen him figure out and fix and put together, I've absolutely never seen him use the manual or instructions or the set of directions that came with the basketball rim. Now, this wouldn't be a problem, and I mean, he does a fairly good job at fixing things, but the truth is that it takes him forever and days or projects that should take hours takes days, and projects that take days takes weeks. It takes way too long. In fact, at the end where it says on the box or on the manual, you will have no leftover parts. With my dad, there's always leftover screws. There's always leftover wood. Truth is, on a few occasions, he has to go back and figure out how to fix something again because it wasn't fixed right the first time. Now you can just imagine how much time, how much heartache, how much of our sanity that we've had to salvage. But only if we had started off by reading the manual and instructions, how differently things would have turned out. It's somewhat comical, but you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed of how many people try to do life. They try to live out their faith. They try to deal with the ups and downs of life. They try to be parents. They try to take care of aging parents. We try to be in relationship with other people. We try to do all of this without any instructions, without any manuals. Truth is, life is hard enough on its own. And yet for some of us, we approach some of the most difficult things in life wondering why there's so much heartache, there's so much pain, there's so much wasted time, is because we went to the project, we went to the situation, we went to the circumstance and left the manual, left the instructions, and left everything unread. Truth is, Paul doesn't use this language, but Paul seems to be experiencing the same sense of urgency to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And in some ways, he is writing Timothy to help him and to encourage him to use his manual, to use the word of God, and to rely on the instructions so that he can lean into God's word for how to live his life. In fact, we interrupt what appears to be a letter of encouragement, and the context reveals a lot of what Paul is saying, because by the time we get to our text in 2 Timothy, Paul is in prison again. And unlike before, Paul is being treated like a common criminal. And yet he's writing to encourage his son in the ministry, Timothy. And we can tell by his letters that this was not just some general encouragement, but as Paul stated in earlier verses, Paul was concerned about a particular matter. Here's what Paul says in earlier verses: "For the time is coming, Timothy, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Paul is suggesting to Timothy that there will come a time when right will become wrong and wrong will become right. Paul is reminding Timothy that there will come a time when it will be more difficult to decipher who to believe and who is to be trusted. It's kind of a great question. Who is to be trusted? Over the last couple of days, I was reading an article of a recent study that was quite telling. It made the argument that children are growing up today with quite a different perspective in how they receive and interpret information. They were making the argument that they were different than many generations because it's the first generation where their major influence and source of information will shift from people to things. Whether they learn how to parent, how to save money, have questions about buying a home, their major source of authority will shift from asking people to inquiring to things. This is a generation that will ask Alexa, that will search on Google, and that will ask Siri. They will simply look it up online, so much so the parents will no longer be the source of authority speaking into their lives, but the people that they will trust most is not the people they are close to, but the things they are attached to. The voice of authority will be on the device. The places of authority will be on screens. And the truth is, today people have options. Literally, there are thousands of different voices to whom we can trust. In fact, I can remember growing up and there was something called a Dewey Decimal System. It might be before your time. You had to go to the library, look in the card catalog, and you had to search for what you were looking for, and you had to spend a long time at the library just to find a little piece of information. Now all you had to do was press a button, and information is right there in front of you, right on the screen. But the downside to that is now it's more important for information to be first and not for the information to be reliable. The truth is, the information on the internet is not always reliable. You can't trust everything you see or hear on TV. We can't trust even our own leaders, because statistics can be manipulated, pictures can be photoshopped, magazine covers can be airbrushed, and people can, and even our eyes can sometimes deceive us. And yet, in light of everything that Paul was experiencing with the prison cell all around him, Paul's words were trying to tell Timothy that you have to stay anchored and grounded and rooted in scriptures, because there are going to be a lot of voices, there are going to be a lot of inerrant teaching, there's not going to be a lot of sound doctrine there, so you have to find something to whom you can rely, and that is reliable. So Paul says and gives Timothy only what Paul knows, the unchangeable, undeniable truths that has guided his life. And the same reasons that Paul gave Timothy to rely on the Bible is the same hope and the same reasons that Paul is giving us today. And the truth is, one of the major reasons that we can rely on the Bible is that the Word of God won't fail. Can you just help me repeat that? The Word of God won't fail. Here it is. Paul appeals to Timothy's history of Timothy's faith to encourage his present and future reliance and reliability on God. Look at the text. Paul reminds Timothy, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned, continue in what you have previously learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy, the time that you were young, you have known the Holy Scriptures. We get the impression that Timothy has been taught Scripture from the time that he has been young. This was not something that Timothy has picked up along the way. This is not a new relationship that he has with God's Word. But in fact, some people have been so influential in his life and ensuring that he has been grounded in God's Word. So Timothy has a past and a history with God and with God's Word. And with God, past performances are an indication of future behaviors. In other words, if God did it before, God would do it again. To help put some flesh on these bones, my first car was a 1986 Buick Park Avenue. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, right? I guess my parents got so tired of driving me around to basketball practice, picking me up to school, that my dad just got me, again, this is the same person that likes to just figure things out as they go. Same dad bought me the cheapest car he could find just to get me from here to there. The only problem is that the car wasn't reliable. It would often and randomly not start at the most inopportune times. It's late, coming home from basketball practice. I get out with the rest of the fellas. I get into the car. I'm supposed to drive three other people home, but the car doesn't start. I'm at the red light waiting to go, and all of a sudden when the light turns green, I put my foot on the gas, but the car doesn't start. Going simple places was absolutely nerve-wrenching because I didn't know if the car was going to fail because it was so unreliable. You can just imagine how I was going out on dates, going home, coming from the movies, and being so nervous that maybe we weren't even going to be able to get home because I didn't know, I couldn't trust the car because it was not reliable, then it would always fail, but that was my only option. So I had to put my hope and trust and faith into something I knew that was going to fail. And you'd be surprised of how many of us, we continuously put our hope and our trust and our faith into people and things that have failed us time and time and time again. So much so that we think that is the only option that we have, and we are fine driving, we are fine putting our faith in things that have proven to be unreliable. And yet this is so timely for someone like Paul, because many things in his life has failed him. He's been deserted. He's been shipwrecked. He's been abused. He's been left for dead. He's been discounted. He's been whipped. He's been jailed. But isn't that just the reality of life? The truth is, everything that you have that comes from this world, sooner or later, it will fail. The markets will fail. People will fail. We learned the last couple of weeks, the weather fails. The weatherman or the weatherwoman will fail absolutely miserably. The jobs will fail. Leaders will fail. Many things and people have failed Paul over and over and over again. But the one thing that has remained the anchor and the one thing that has rooted his life has been the Word of God. When all other things have failed Paul, the one thing that has been able to anchor him, the one thing that has been able to guide him, the one thing that he has been able to put his hope, trust, and faith in that has never failed and stopped at the red light has been the Word of God in his life. And that is what he offers to Timothy. He reminds Timothy of his past performances with relying on God to encourage him to continue in the same manner, as if to suggest that if God's Word has not let you down, then you can rely and trust in God's Word to not let you down even in the days to come. So here's our challenge. Here's our challenge for today. Here's our challenge. Can you think of a time when God's Word has failed you? I'll wait. Can you think of a time when you relied on God's Word and yet you saw a better alternative or option? Can you think of a time when God's Word let you down? In fact, if God's Word has ever let you down, then you have permission to dismount and disengage. But can you really think of a moment in your life when God told you something and it didn't come to pass, or when God promised to give you strength to make it through and it didn't come to fruition, when God promised to supply all of your needs and you didn't see it come to pass in your life? The Bible is not a history book, but it's an account of God's past performances in humanity that gives us an indication of future possibilities, because if God can do it then, if God could do it then surely God can do it now. The Bible is reliable because of its unfailability. Yes, that is not a word, but we're using it today. You can rely because of the unfailability of God. God's Word will not fail. So if we're going to put our trust in anything, why not put your trust in something that has never failed you? God's Word. God's Word has never failed us. Not only has God's Word never failed us, but another reason why we should rely on God's Word is because God's Word is alive. Can you say that with me? God's Word is alive.
God's Word is alive.
Now you got to say it like you're alive. So I say, God's Word, God's Word is alive. Here's what Paul does. Paul asserts to Timothy that Scripture is inspired by God, and the original word that is transliterated, it is mean that Scripture, it is breathed out of the mouth of God. In fact, the book of Hebrews puts it best when it asserts that God's Word is active and alive. It's a word that gives the connotation that God has breathed life into it. Because in some ways, they're just words on a page. They're just sentences until the breath of God gives life to them. And the power of Scripture is not just when you read it, but when you can see it lived out. That's the real power of God's Word is not just when you can read it, but when you can see it. When you can see the very thing that you read about. The power is when you can see it. That's why St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary. In other words, people would rather see a sermon and not hear one. Some of the greatest sermons have never been heard, but they've been seen. Some of God's greatest work is seen and not heard. And I think Paul is reminding Timothy to trust in God's word, that the reliability on the scriptures is not just what he's been able to read, but by what he has experienced, that God has been able to show him the things that he's been able to read about, because I can see them, because they're power in God's word. Think about it. I was in Atlantic City, my first church, and there was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Chuck, and every church has a Mr. Chuck in it. Mr. Chuck was the head of the trustee board, and literally, I've never seen anything that Mr. Chuck couldn't do. Mr. Chuck would carry tables on his back. Mr. Chuck could carry 5 folded chairs in each of his arms. And there are 2 memories that stick out with me about Mr. Chuck. We built an urban garden in Atlantic City because there was not a single grocery store in the entire city. So we built a playground in an urban garden. But something happened to the irrigation during the time of installment, and the temperatures were so high that the people in the gardeners who did all of the planting said, if we don't get any water on this soon, then all of our work would be for naught, because everything that we planted is going to die. But here comes and saves us Mr. Chuck. Mr. Chuck literally stood outside with a water hose and watered everything that had been planted for 4 hours in the hot sun. But that was just Mr. Chuck. During Hurricane Sandy, when everyone was told to evacuate the city, Mr. Chuck put on his fisherman's gear and walked in the middle of the street just to make sure that the church was going to be safe during the storm. He made sure that there was wood on the windows and the doors. He made sure that the church would still be standing after the hurricane. Now, this was not a beautiful facility like it is here at St. Luke's. This was a small, rinky-dink corner church that fit about 40 people comfortably. But here Mr. Chuck was walking down the street in the middle of the hurricane to make sure that the church would still be standing when we got back. Now, this wasn't just just so oppressive. You may not be impressed by this. You may not be impressed by it, but it became even more impressive to me, because there was a moment when Mr. Chuck had to show me his driver's license, because we needed to hand it to the insurance company because he was a trustee. And it was at that moment I realized that Mr. Chuck was 82 years old. You all need to sound more impressed by that. Mr. Chuck was 82 years old. Now see, I could have preached to them about commitment. I could have preached about faithfulness. I could have preached about showing up. I could have preached about giving your best. But it's always more powerful when they could see faithfulness, when they could see commitment, when they could see Mr. Chuck showing up even at 82, still doing what he could do. It reminds me that it is more powerful to see a sermon than it ever is to hear one. Maybe that's why when Moses was so nervous and went to God and said, when I go to Pharaoh, I'm not going to have anything to say, God did not give Moses a sermon or words, but God gave Moses a staff. Maybe God was trying to suggest to us then that what's going to change the heart of Pharaoh, what's going to change the minds of people, is not by what you can say to them, but by how and what you can show them. Maybe that's why Jesus didn't preach about healing, but maybe that's why he went around healing people, not so that people could hear it, but so that they could see it. Maybe that's why when the lame left Jesus, he didn't just go around telling people about it, but they realized there must be something powerful about this man, not because of what he says, but we knew this person was lame and now they're walking again. Maybe that's why when people were sick and they were made whole again. Maybe that's why Jesus didn't preach to large crowds about the resurrection. He simply spoke to a tomb and said, Lazarus, get out. Maybe that's what God is trying to show us today, that the power in the word is not just that it's on the page, but everything that God has written, God can show you and God has experienced in your life, because as the book of Hebrews suggests, the word of God, it is active and it is alive. It is not only active and it is alive, but it is useful. And because it is useful, it is, some would say that it is lasting. Maybe that's why the text says it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul says to Timothy about the word of God, this is what he says about the word of God: you can use it. Not just that you can study it, not just that you can read it, not just that you can exegete it, but you can use it. Many people don't find the Bible reliable because they don't think they can use it. Either they don't think it applies to their lives, or they think that because it has been misused, that it can no longer be used. You ever think about this? So much discord that we as a people have had to experience, it has its root in someone's distorted use of God's word. Instead of using it to build up, it's been misused to tear down. Instead of being used as a tool for unity, it's been used for a tool of division and destruction. People have misused the Bible to devalue people's worth. We have misused it to justify our own ignorance. We have misused it to judge other people in the name of God's word. We have discriminated because of God's word. We have harmed each other, devalued each other, criticized each other, dehumanized one another under the banner of being true to God's word. And many people fail to see how they can make use of what has been consistently misused. But what if I told you the Bible is a collection of narratives of just regular people with regular problems? That the Bible is composed of dysfunctional families, people who struggle with substance abuse, occasional doubt, people who struggle with low self-esteem, who lied, people who dealt with issues of power, sex and money, fickle friends. What if I told you it was just regular people who were searching for love, healing, and restoration? That's something you can use. So maybe perhaps the purpose of the Holy Scripture is not to make us smart or to make us relevant or to make us rich, get a job, or even to get married or to take all of our problems away or to tell us how to live. But maybe the aim is to help us have faith in Christ and to be saved, because nothing in the world has that ability or reliability. Because only the word of God can save. Only in scriptures do we encounter the fullness of God's revelation. Only in scriptures do we find the good news of the forgiveness of sins. Only in scripture can we be led to believe in Jesus Christ, and in believing have life breathed into us. Alexa can answer, but it cannot breathe life into us. Google can answer, but Google cannot breathe life into dead souls. Siri can answer back, but Siri cannot breathe life into their situations. We can't be believers without the word of God. Scripture doesn't tell us everything we may want to know about everything, but it tells us everything we need to know about the most important things. It gives us something we can use. It gives us discernment for difficult choices, something we can use. It makes us strong enough to be patient with others, even when they're getting on our nerves, is something we can use. It gives us unspeakable joy. It helps us and guides us through the mazes of life. It shows us who God is, thus reveals who we really are, something that we can use. Alexa can answer questions. Alexa can give us the time, the date, and the right information. But Alexa cannot be used for life transformative powers. Alexa cannot be used to transform the world upside down. And that's why we rely on the word of God. Because it's never failed us. It's alive. And it's active. And because it's something we can use, it's something that's lasting. Amen.